Well, we're glad you're back for another episode of Escaping Moral Adventure. Today, we are finishing the conversation that was started last week on being on mission and motherhood. So we pick up right where we left off, talking about practical ways to bring Jesus into our homes and how we can teach our children all about him. This episode is a little bit different than what you're used to because I am joined by my friend Jen Roland, and Mark is not in on this conversation. So it was just two moms getting together talking about motherhood, but also just parenthood in general. So we really hope that you enjoy today's conversation. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 through 9, and I'll read that for everyone, but let me kind of set it up first. So what's going on here is that the Lord had just given Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and Moses was coming down from there after getting the Ten Commandments, and so when he got back down, he told the people of Israel the commands that the Lord had given him. And so that's where I'm going to pick up the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And it says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders." That makes me chuckle. "Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So that kind of leads me into our next question, which is, okay, you know, what does it practically look like to bring Jesus into our home? So what are things, you know, we could do right now? What does that look like?
Yeah.
Practically speaking.
Well, now I'm going to start writing it on somebody's forehead. I'll write something on Mason's forehead and send him to school. But yeah, so some of the things that we do, and again, I mean, I'm always open for ideas in this too. I'm always looking for different ways to do it. You know, positive, encouraging ways, not exhaustive, not, you know, not legalistic, but some examples, you know, that we do, probably my favorite, which actually are really hard. Now that I think about it, family devos, you know, I think with our kids' age, it's really hard, especially at night, for them to sit down and listen. And so it doesn't look picture perfect. Like I would, you know, it's not something I would take a picture of and then post it on Instagram for everyone to see. Right. But at the same time, you know, I can recommend some really good ones, some age appropriate ones, if that's something that you're looking for to send out to people.
Yeah, we can. I can put all that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. And if you want to, you know, if you have any you want to mention, you can too. So.
Yeah. The one that, well, we've changed with the seasons. You know, we had one for Advent. And the one that we picked back up, we had started at the beginning of the school year, was, I think it was by Louis Giglio, and it's like God and Science, How Great is Our God? And it is so fascinating. I have learned so much, you know, and a lot of people might think that God and science don't mix, but honestly, like, everything is explained by science from God and from God by science. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it actually really does fit. So it's been really cool to teach them that. Regular prayer is something that, is really important to us, and, you know, not just before meals, but really teaching them how to pray for people and practicing gratitude. And so, you know, before bed, I might say something like, you know, is there anyone that you want to pray for? And it's so amazing to kind of get them in the habit of, oh yeah, like I need to pray for people, you know, what are people's needs, right? Thinking of other people's needs before their own. And then, or if they can't think of somebody, you know, thanking Jesus for something that night or, you know, something that happened that day. And then what we started doing is also taking turns praying, like, okay, whose day is it? You know, maybe around the dinner table. And what that does is that gets them really comfortable praying out loud. And so, you know, Mike's done this too.
Yeah, that's a good
It's made him more comfortable praying out loud, and he always goes rogue. So I think that's good too to like hear. And honestly, so it's so funny whenever you said that you looked up the definition of disciple. I looked up the definition of discipline because I thought, know, it's just woven into parenting through discipline, because discipline means instruction or training.
Yeah.
So when they make a wrong choice, it's teaching them the right one in light of God's word and yeah. Jesus's characteristics, which is what we're going for, right, as Christ followers. And then the why behind it, you know, the same statistics that I read said that, you know, if you can teach your children, you know, apologetics is a fancy word of saying why, right? Why do I believe? Why is this a big deal? Why is this true? If you can teach them the why, they're more likely to stand firm in their faith, you know, when they do leave your house.
Good point.
So I always go into the why. So just for example, you know, we say things like, this may or may not be actual words and scenarios from our house. So I'm showing our cards here. You know, we don't yell, argue, and hit each other because the Bible calls us to be peacemakers. Who's going to be the peacemaker right now? Who's it going to be? Then they usually say, you know, me, you know, and then telling them how to be the peacemaker, right? To correct them or to discipline them is, yes, that what you did was wrong, but this is what I want you to do, or this is the right action.
You have to give the, what do I do instead?
Correct.
Right? Not just don't do this. Yeah, that's good.
But then we also use it. This is probably my favorite, right? I feel like you might've taught me this.
I don't know.
Like also praising when they make a good choice. Like Jesus loves when you share your favorite toy with your friend that came over today. Yeah. Jesus is so happy, you know, that you did this, or man, you're being just like Jesus whenever you do this. So I think you told me that. So we do that as well.
That's good. Yeah, I was going to mention that, but you did, so I won't. But all that stuff is so good. You talked about doing devotions. So right now I have little kids, so we're doing VeggieTales devotionals, and we'll do that every morning before school. And that made me think of, and some of the stuff you're saying too, that Deuteronomy scripture, repeat them again and again to your children, talk about them when you were at home, and then also when you're on the road. And so these examples are reminding me of that scripture. And let's see, Jen, I think you use this book now as well, but I call it the giggle book. It's technically called In This House We Will Giggle. And then it says making virtues, love and laughter a daily part of your family life. And we use that. It gives you a word of the month. And then, because I got overwhelmed, I don't know about you, but when I was like trying to figure out how to bring Jesus into our daily life, you know, it is important to have specific Bible time, specific devotional time, but it also needs to just be woven into our parenting, right? Into our life. It doesn't just need to be this thing over here in this box, right? It should permeate our entire life. And so I'm like, how do I do this? I'm so overwhelmed. There's so many things I want my kids to know. But when I read this book, I'm like, okay, let's just start with one word or one virtue a month. And then I can focus on that. And as we do that, you know, we're starting on our second year now, but you focus on that, but then you're reminded of the other virtues as well as things happen. So I feel like as I do this years on end, more virtues are going to come up every month, but I'm not overwhelmed by the thought of having to teach our kids these things all at one time.
Yeah.
And then, Jen, you read Parenting Scripts, and I just started reading it, and so I'm going to say that on here because that book, I'm only on chapter 4. I don't even know if I'm done with chapter 4, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a game changer. So,
it is. You know what? We do the Veggie Tales in the morning as well, and we've had that for a while. And so Mason is 7, so he's in first grade and he's really picking up on his reading. And so I might read, you know what I'm talking about? They have the scripture at the top and then they have like a small paragraph, but then they have a thought of the day and then they have a prayer.
Yeah.
So while we're in the drop-off line, I will read the scripture, you know, the little paragraph about it. And then I will have him read the thought of the day and the prayer. And that's been good too. And I'm looking forward to, I have a mom friend in the next season of life who has a middle schooler. Mm-hmm. She just sits back there and reads the whole devotion on the way to school. So
that's awesome.
I'm excited for those days.
Yes.
they can disciple me.
Yes, that's good. And you were saying how through, was it the God and Science devotional, you've learned so much. Mm-hmm. I have found the same thing through the kids' books, and because it puts it in a way that's, you know, under able to be understood by a child.
Right.
And sometimes that's what I need.
Yeah.
You know, like just bring it down a few levels for me. I don't understand this.
Yeah, because we've texted it to each other before. Yeah. And like our friend group, like, yeah. Hey guys, check this out. Like, isn't this a good VeggieTales devotional? It's so good.
Shoot. And then the other book, when you were talking about that, it reminded me of, it's called The Ology. So the and then ology is the second word. And that's been a really good book as well to teach mostly our oldest about, you know, just the Bible and the and all that comes from that. And it's been helpful for me too to learn. So that's just kind of a side note there. Other things I thought of that we actually both do is just having scripture around our house, whether that's an actual decoration or just note cards with or sticky notes with scripture written on it. And that reminded me of, you know, write them on the doorposts of your house. And in that scripture, it reminded me of that. Do you have anything else to add, practical ways? I know there are so many more.
I feel like there are so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Those are kind of like the big ones.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, one thing I don't think either of us mentioned was I think it's important for our kiddos to see us reading our Bible, see us when, where do we go when we're joyful, when we're angry, when we're sad, when we don't know what else to do? Where are we going? And it should be to Jesus. And so I think that's a way to practically bring Jesus into your home is, you know, making sure your kids are seeing that.
Yeah. And again, so, and actually having them realize that it's a huge priority in your life. And
yes.
So one of the things that I've done for many years is get up early before the kids and have my time, my quiet time in the Word and Bible study and prayer. And, my family knows that. Mm-hmm. And I can't really tell you how they know or, you know, especially the kids, but Mason, just a few months ago had asked me, Mom, can you wake me up when you wake up early so I can read my Bible too? And I was hesitant because at first, I mean, selfishly, I'm like, no, that's my quiet time.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to wake you up at 5:30. That's like a parenting
never.
You know, don't wake your kid up, especially at 5:30. But I did. I thought, Jen, come on, you know, I want him to have those habits as well. And so if that's what I want, then that's my goal. Then so I did wake him up and he did come and he has all kinds of tabs in his Bible. So I think he just read the scriptures that he, you know, already knew, but it was a good habit. And then one time he asked to get up and he just went back in my bed and went back to sleep, which was fine too. but yes, I totally agree with you. They have to see how we're living it out and they have to see the priority that we make it.
I agree. Yeah, we have to be walking the talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't just preach this stuff to them. We have to be living it out as well.
Yep.
And that's good. Okay, so we've shared a lot of practical things here and I can imagine feeling overwhelmed listening to all of these. So let's say tomorrow someone listening wanted to begin being on mission motherhood. Do you have one thing of maybe some of the things we talked about, one thing that you would say, hey, this would be a good place to start?
Yeah. I mean, it starts with your own walk.
Mm.
You know, where can you take an inventory of your relationship with Jesus? Where is it at? What are you doing? Just like we had just talked about, you know, they have to see. I think your kids will see the work of the Holy Spirit in your life if you've got the Holy Spirit in you. I think that they need to see you, like you said, living it out. So what do you need to do instead of focusing on how to fix your family? That's not even really your job. You know,
right.
Jesus is going to do that when you're in his word and you're, you know, your heart is open to the work that he wants to do in you.
Yeah.
Because I think that the biggest thing that as we talk a little bit about parenting failures, I can't wait to get to that. That I am an expert in. but as we talk a little bit about that, I think it's important for them to see our journey and sanctification. Didn't you just define that in a previous episode?
Yes.
I just heard that. Sanctification is a lifelong process.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's okay to not have it all figured out today.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is going to do work in your heart. And then as he does that, then he fills you up and then you turn around and pour it out to your family.
Yeah,
it's wash, rinse, and repeat. So, so you don't need a tool for that. You just need the Bible and you need a surrendered posture.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and because how can we teach these things to our kiddos when we don't know them ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? So I love that. And yes, I mean, we need to focus on our relationship with the Lord, that vertical relationship, and then mm-hmm. things just flow from there. So yep. I love that. I love that answer. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for throwing that in.
Yeah. You're welcome. She wasn't prepared for that one, you guys. okay. So parenting failures, let's talk about those. What do we do with them? How can we still point our kiddos to Jesus and be on mission, right? Disciple our kiddos when we just completely drop the ball during a parenting moment or many parenting moments in one day or one 1 minute, you know.
Yeah.
What do we do with that?
Yeah. Yeah. A whole day. Sometimes you can run into this many times. You know, I think that the biggest and probably the most regular thing that I do, and really I think that we can all do, is apologize.
Yeah.
I mean, it is simple, but I also know that it may be countercultural a little bit. It mm-hmm. might rub some people the wrong way. You know, you shouldn't be apologizing to your kids. You know, you're in a place of authority. But the honesty is we're going to make mistakes. We're going to have a bad day. We're going to end up raising our voice, speaking harshly. Or in my case, you know, just responding poorly. Sometimes yeah. I'm just not happy. I can feel I've grieved the Holy Spirit just by, you know, a response mm-hmm. that I had. But I think if we want our kids to be good apologizers and take responsibility for their actions, they need to see us doing that too, which is what we were, you know, just yes. really referencing.
Yes.
It's a great way to model humility for them, which we are called to embody as Christ followers. Humility is not equal to weakness. You know, mm-hmm. it is, Jesus was humble and he said, I'm humble and lowly, right? I mean, that's very countercultural mm-hmm. today. But it's also a really good teaching moment, you know, so they know what to do when it happens to them, because it will. If it happens to us, it's going to happen yeah. to them. You yes. know, we have sin, we have struggle, we make mistakes. They're going to as well. And it's not necessarily trying to do everything you can to avoid that, but it's like, how do I repair that? Or how do I fix that? Right. Mm-hmm. And then this is probably like my favorite thing to do. I think I actually got this from the Parenting Scripts book. Thank you for bringing that up. I think I was going to mention that a little bit later also, okay. because, it also was a game changer for me. I just have it in my car and I reread, I have things underlined, because you really have to, you know, commit that to memory and make that a habit as well. Some of the scripts that they give you, or the things that they share with you that you can say, are just, I mean, gold. Mm-hmm. I loved when she said in the book, she points out their need for a savior. Mm-hmm. And so we need to do that too. Yeah. So sometimes I might say something like, you know, I want to apologize to you. I raised my voice. I shouldn't have done that. I want to speak with you the way God speaks with me, with kindness and gentleness. I'm so glad he sent his son to die for my sins. Or I might say, what a great time to celebrate a savior. Yeah. You know, like, I just totally messed up. Or I'm sorry that I yelled. I'm so glad that, you know, I'm not eternally punished for that.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. I just used the... I want to speak with you the way the Lord speaks with me. Yes. You told me that, I don't know, several days or a couple weeks ago. And, yeah. and I told Mark, I'm like, Mark, this is golden. And then I think that might've been when I bought the book. Like, I have to start reading this. And so we've used that in our house too. And I think asking forgiveness from our kids is so important. And Jen, just like you said, that's countercultural, mm-hmm. you know, but, what Jesus calls us to do is going to be countercultural. I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. So if that's the case, then you're probably doing something right, yeah. you know? Sort of in the same line of thinking as that, you know, asking for forgiveness from our kiddos, but also from the Lord and repenting. And sometimes, I don't know if you do this, Jen, but sometimes I'll do that with my kiddos. I'll pray right there with them and ask for their forgiveness. And then I'll say, girls, let's pray, you know, okay. and I'll pray right there just about what happened and asking for the Lord for forgiveness. And then, you know, reminding the kiddos that and if they need to ask for forgiveness too, then they will pray as well. And sometimes that's hard to get them to do, but they, you know, we're working on it. You know, and then reminding them, like, you just asked for forgiveness from the Lord. I just did. Those are forgiven and he's forgotten them already, mm-hmm. you know? So, and I think we might talk about that in a little bit, but, mm-hmm. Okay. So are we good on that? Parenting failures? We could probably talk a lot more, but
yeah, I think, okay. between, yeah, Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, let's move on to just as a mom, sometimes we may feel this heavy mom guilt and shame, you know, after we've just failed. And, you know, what can we do with that? I mean, we don't want that. So what do we do?
Yeah, between the failures and the shame and the guilt, I feel like, yes, I'm for sure an expert in this. So I feel like I could talk about it all day, too. I mean, the Lord has done a lot of heart work in me over my short, you know, time as a parent. So, Fallon, you know that I have struggled the most in parenting as a recovering perfectionist with shame and guilt. Even though I know that mm-hmm. Jesus died for my sin, and when he did that, he also took my shame. He took our shame mm-hmm. with him, right? But I tend to add more to myself in certain situations and then continue to carry that with me all day. Mm-hmm. And it totally ruins the day, you know, after the moment has passed. Like you just said, Jesus forgave and then he forgot. Mm-hmm. And if he did that, then, you know, I should be able to do that too. But and I don't have it all figured out today, but a game changer for me for sure was when I heard John Piper on the Risen Motherhood podcast. All he did was read Romans 8, but he read it and he said, I want you to hear this in light of motherhood. And I mean, I can tell you where I was. I was out for a walk on a country road in the cornfields that day. And when he said the first verse, "Now there is no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. I was like, that's me. Mm-hmm. Like there's, yeah. That's me. If there's no condemnation, then why am I condemning myself above right. and beyond what right. Jesus already did on the cross? Why would I do that?
That's good.
So, if I can, I just want to pause and highlight just a part of that first verse, belong to Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. If I can talk about this for a second, I just want to say, you know, whoever's listening, if you don't know what that means, or you're mm-hmm. listening and you're not sure if you belong to him or are, you know, in him, this means that you have committed your life to him. You've mm-hmm. you've said the sinner's prayer, you've declared with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you've asked for forgiveness for your sins. Therefore, you're placing your faith in Jesus as your as the Son of God and your personal Savior. So that's an important part that I just don't want to gloss over yeah. because there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus died for the people. Well, he died for all of our sins, but we have a response. We have yeah. to respond to that. We have to accept that.
Right.
And I mean, that's the best thing I've ever done, yes. you know, first yes. and foremost. But if you don't know what that means, I just wanted to highlight that because I feel like that's super important. Super important.
Yes, I agree.
So if you're not sure if you've ever done that, mm-hmm. you know, you can very easily just do that, you know, in the yeah. comfort of your own home. You can declare with your mouth, believe it in your heart, say the sinner's prayer. If you don't know what it is, Google it. Yeah, you yes. can Google a sinner's prayer.
I will link to something. I think there's a good Got Questions article just kind of on what that is. And
great.
It gives the sinner's prayer in there as well.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That's
yeah.
good.
I mean, that's the gospel. And thanks for letting me just kind of veer for just a second though. Because it gets better from there. So I highly recommend that you read Romans 8, you know, in light of motherhood, or find that podcast and let John Piper do it for yeah. you because he did a great job. It was so good. And you know, the bottom line is that we don't have to walk around with shame and guilt from a mess up, no matter what it is. I mean, it could be as little as a parenting mistake. You yelled or, you know, if you're me, maybe you slammed a door, you know, or it can be something big, like yeah. your worst mistake. Yeah. You know, you don't have to walk around with that shame and guilt, that if we trust Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what the Bible tells us that he did. And like we've kind of shared, we have so much, you know, historical and factual proof that that's true. So then why do we, you know, mm-hmm. he knows what's best. Let's right. leave that with him because he's the only one that can actually do anything productive with yes. our shame and guilt.
Yes. That's perfect. That's great. You know, you were talking about, you know, forgetting that or leaving that shame and guilt, not carrying it around with you. And Paul talks about in Philippians, it's chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. 13 and 14, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of the goal, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And shame and regret, or shame and guilt, mm-hmm. is shame and guilt is part of, you know, what's behind, what's in the past. We need to forget what's behind and move forward, you know, not carrying that with us.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff, what I just shared with you, is coming from Got Questions. Again, I'll link to all this stuff in the notes. But the other thing from that website, it said, guilty feelings are useful when they drive us to repentance. So there can be a place for guilty feelings, or, you know, conviction, right? If it drives us to repentance, that's what it should do. That's that godly sorrow. However, Satan can also use those guilty feelings to drive us away from God. And that's that worldly sorrow or guilt. So looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." And I feel like, you know, just when you were talking about not carrying that around with you, these scriptures, it speaks to that. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah, I've heard that too, that like, well, guilt, if you want to like pick apart the word, like guilt is from the devil, because mm-hmm. usually it doesn't lead to much good, but conviction, right?
Yes.
That leads to repentance. And again, I can't remember if I said that, but yeah, once I have asked for forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? Jesus forgave and then
yes,
he forgot.
Right, so exactly.
It did, you know, it led me to repent. I did my part. Jesus did his part, right? And then we can move on.
Yes, that's good. Okay, we're about done. So let's see. Okay, Jen, I know to me, you have talked about before, you know, not needing to be the perfect parent because that's Jesus's job. So can you just talk about that?
Yeah,
a little bit.
I was chuckling because, I mean, this came from a conversation in the car with my littles. And one time the littlest, Roland, I think she asked me, like, must have been why I did something. And obviously it was a sin or it was a mistake. And I just responded with, because I'm not perfect. Yeah. And then I said, you know, and I'm not going to be the perfect parent. And that's actually great news, because I don't need to be. You know, you already have a perfect Heavenly Father who loves you more than I do. And I love you a lot. To which she said, "Why don't I have a Heavenly Mother?" I was like, okay. But again, I think we can model for them while teaching them what it looks like to live and be a follower of Christ. And that's not perfect, no matter how much we try, strive, or hustle, right? Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite words that Jesus spoke while he was on this earth are found in John 16:33. It says, mm-hmm. Jesus says, you know, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So he told us right there that there is no such thing as perfection in this world, in parenting or in any other area. Then he told us that's okay, because he took care of it.
Yeah.
He's the answer.
I have goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they're Jesus's words.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you have goosebumps.
You're right. You're right.
And then the other one is John 14, right? When he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me."
Yes.
So, I mean, I have to make sure that my kids know that.
Yes. That's beautiful. Beautiful. And Jen, I was reading, like I mentioned, I read this book, In This House We Will Giggle, and we're on forgiveness is our word for this month right now. And I just happened to open it up and I'm like, this is perfect. So I want to read a scripture from there.
Okay.
Or not a scripture. It's just words from there. This is not scripture. This is out of the In This House We Will Giggle book, where, I mean, she's talking about just what you're saying. And so, okay, it says, "We were never meant to be Jesus to our kids. We were meant to show them Jesus. That's a vastly different role and set of expectations. You and I aren't here to get it right or get it perfect." You know, just like you said to your kiddo in the car, we are here to keep pointing our children back to Jesus, to help them understand why they need him, why he made them, why he forgave them, and how absolutely breathtaking that truth is.
Yeah.
And I just think that's perfect.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's perfect to not be perfect,
yeah, right?
But, and actually, there was a time when the littlest Roland was learning how to talk, and she was saying perfect a lot. And as a recovering perfectionist myself, I had a problem with that just because I tend to take it to the extreme. Mm-hmm. But I think our culture does, our society does too. So we even took it out of our vocabulary for a while. And I think it got annoying for other people because I would say, I said, well, Jesus is the only one that's perfect. What other word could you say? That's wonderful. So then so then you had this little three-year-old walking around saying, that's fabulous. And I think it got annoying because, like, you know, if you were talking to someone who was outside of our family who maybe didn't know what we were doing, you know, they would say, oh, that's perfect. And then she would say, you know, she was trying to be the word police. And so then we had to have a talk about not being the word police for other people. But we even for a period took it out of our vocabulary to really hammer in that point that let's not even go down that road of perfection. It leads nowhere good, you know? So I love that. That's so, well, thank you, Lord, for sharing that with us.
Right. Okay. You know what? I think that's all we have. Okay. So we wanted to end with just this encouragement that you don't have to be perfect as a mom, as a person, as anything, because that's Jesus's job and only his job. And it's important for your kiddos to see that.